Hi, everybody, and welcome to Let's Get Busy, brought to you by the Kutztown University Small Business Development Center. It's me, your host, Carly Commando. Today, we're sitting down with Matthew Williams of Firefly Bookstore, a beloved fixture in Kutztown. You'll hear all about their journey in creating a community-centered business as we dive into what inspired them to open their doors, the challenges they've faced, and how they've continued to adapt to an ever-changing marketplace. It's time to get busy with the business of books. We are recording from the event space at the Firefly Bookstore. This is where you have game night and private events. Mm-hmm. And so to everybody listening, I'm here with Matt of Firefly. Thank you so much for joining us on the Let's Get Busy podcast.
Thank you.
I just want to know all about the shop. So tell me a little bit about you. Tell me about how you started this bookstore.
Well, in briefly, my wife and I met in California, actually. And we've both worked in like libraries or bookstores for a long time. We've had a lot of experience, and we met in a bookstore that we were working at. And over time, we developed a closer relationship. And over time, we decided we wanted to try to do something of our own. Mm-hmm. Originally, we were doing a lot of research for creating something on the West Coast. We went up to Oregon. We went down to not quite Southern California, but we traveled everywhere. And West Coast is very difficult mm-hmm. to work in because it's got a lot of opportunities, but a lot of challenges too. Then an opportunity came to relocate here because this is Rebecca's hometown. Mm. And we came back here and found an environment where we could really, that not only could we really build what we wanted to build, but really had a need. At the time, all there was a small bookstore, the Saucony bookstore, and he was great, mm-hmm. and he was also very encouraging. He was like, yeah, more bookstores, the happier I'll be.
Yeah.
But he was mostly online, and he was doing more specialty market. He wasn't doing general books. Mm-hmm. And a college bookstore, which closed within a year of when we actually started being here at Feed and Read. So there was really nothing in terms of an independent bookstore of the type that we wanted to open here in this area. So it was an opportunity that really was golden. And I will say, the resources in the area were great. We connected with Kutztown Partnership, mm-hmm. Community Partnership, and they were able to provide us with a lot of demographic information that we needed to kind of build our business plan from. Not to build from, to modify
sure.
our business plan, because we had already developed a business plan intending it for the West Coast. Modifying it for this space really was a question of kind of scaling things back and reassessing mm-hmm. numbers and financials and whatever. SCORE and your organization mm-hmm. Also proved incredibly beneficial to us because we were able to take seminars and get ourselves up and running. And while we had done a lot of, supervisory and kind of mid-management mm-hmm. positions, neither of us had actually fully managed a store before. So we both got an opportunity for about a year before we opened here to actually get full store management experience.
Yeah.
And that was really a good perspective creation for us.
Yeah.
So we built the business on wanting to take our experiences and be constantly building on top of each other, constantly adding more skill sets, more experience, more just general knowledge about how to run a business.
Yeah.
And from there, we were able to open a small store just down the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 1,200 square feet. We mm-hmm. outgrew that in about 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it did not take that long.
Was that 2012, the first one?
Yeah, we opened in 2012, and then we ended up moving here. We purchased this building at the end of 2016 and then moved in March. Awesome. We finished renovating and making changes here. We did a lot of our own work.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, I dragooned two of my male friends and I did actually do the bulk of it. But the thing that I think we always want to make sure we always tell everybody is how incredibly responsive the community is to having a bookstore here.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable, actually. And when we were making the move, when we were mm-hmm. making the transition, we put the call out to the community saying, look, we need people helping us with painting jobs or building bookcases or getting the floor prepped for carpet or,
yeah.
or whatever else was the project, something that was discreet. And you say, hey, if you've got a few hours on a Saturday, we could use your help. And the thing that's amazing is people actually came.
That's incredible.
I know. They came just to volunteer to make sure that their bookstore was going to be able to get opened.
Wow. So these are people that were already supporting you from your other location.
And they just said, we need this to grow and we want this to be to maintain and be a part of our community. So we're going to help out. And then when we actually started to move in the middle of March, which may not have been the best plan, we had a small army, again, of people who were willing to pack up a bookcase, and then we just, like, in teams of three, pack, put the books on a cart, two guys picking up the bookcase, and they just moved it down, and, yeah, I was at the other, I was here, and I was getting the bookcases in place, and we had another team putting stuff up. It was remarkable.
That's such a testament to this community. That's incredible to
hear. It is, and it's a testament to how dedicated they are to having a store like this here.
Yeah. How did that feel as a business owner? Like, this is your shop.
Humbling.
Yeah.
Humbling, because that was, I was prepared to do practically everything myself. But as it turned out, I really didn't need to. I just needed to ask. And people wanted to help. They really did. They really wanted to be part of supporting this business. So it's something we've been grateful for ever since.
That's wonderful. That makes me so happy. And I really just want to clap a million times, but I know that won't be great for the podcast audio, but that makes me so stoked about, like, for you, for your business, for the community, because a lot of things that business owners talk about sometimes is just how lonely it can be running your own business and how difficult it can be. And, you know, depending on the business, finding your community and finding that help, or if you're on the West Coast and your family somewhere else, right? Mm. Like, you might, that support might look different. And so that is such a great experience to hear that the community was there to not just even support you emotionally and say that they wanted to come to this bookstore and support you by buying books and showing up to events, but they helped you move.
Oh, yeah.
Set up the shop.
Moved, yes, which is a painful experience that I don't recommend anybody doing, which is moving a bookstore. I think one of the things that always strikes me is the people who are willing to open a business and they don't have any of those resources to tap into. They don't have family. Mm-hmm. They don't have a cadre of, you know, friends and other, you know, associates who are like, sure, I have nothing better to do on a Saturday than to help you renovate a store.
Yeah.
I think that most businesses actually can do that.
Yeah.
I think anybody who thinks they have to do it that way is probably adding more pain to their lives than they need to. Finding your community, finding your niche, finding the people who actively think, yeah, you're great, I'd like to see you continue.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Finding your people, right?
Absolutely.
Finding your people and asking for help.
Sure. Or being willing to ask for help.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard. One of the reasons you go out and be an entrepreneur and build your own business is because you want to do it yourself. You want to be your own boss. You want to be the one in charge. You want it to be your decisions.
Yes.
But with that comes actually a sense of responsibility and connection that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
When you work for somebody else, you're not responsible for other people. You're not responsible for their well-being. Mm-hmm. And you're not responsible for thinking about, well, what is my place here in this community?
Yeah.
You know, what is my purpose here? But when you do become an entrepreneur, these are the issues that actually come to the forefront, whether or not you choose to acknowledge them or not. And I think some of the businesses that don't do as well are the ones who fail to understand that role, to fail to understand that there are multiple stakeholders in any business, any business, large or small, there are stakeholders. And it's not just the people who invested in it. It's not just the people who are, you know, economically tied to it. It's everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, when you talk about, so like your experience working at bookstores on the West Coast and how you and your wife met and then trying to set up a bookshop there and then coming out here to make that happen, you said that you took like a year to kind of get the managerial experience.
The managerial experience, I think, was really necessary as a perspective thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the actual tasks we had done as one in one role or another.
Okay.
I mean, she and I have been, you know, training, you know, managers in multiple opportunities. We've been supervisors. We've been everything. But managing entire store, top to bottom, having people directly answering to you. That's a very different experience. Yes. And it has value to learn.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about community impact because you touched upon that in your move. Mm-hmm. What specifically makes you stand out in this community? And how do you yourself view this business as a cornerstone in downtown Kutztown?
Well, one of the more obvious things is that we're very close to the center of the downtown. We're like less than a block away from White Oak, which is the major crossroad right in the middle of downtown. We're also one of the larger retail spaces. This space here, the floor space downstairs, is 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
So that is a significant amount of retail space being taken up by a bookstore. And so it's got the huge front window. So it really has a high level of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the building is magenta. So, which wasn't necessarily a choice. We just haven't gotten around to actually painting it our colors. So it's
the
still.
The community might not want you to change it.
You know, at this point, there may be some sort of devotion because that was Jackie and daughter. That was Sean and her mother's decision when they owned Jackie and daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, the magenta, the yellow, and the orange. Or green and the orange, that's their colors. And we've sort of gone along with it for a long time. And it may at this point be like, why would you want to paint that? And everybody knows where you are. Anyway, so yes. So we take visually and physically, we take up a fair chunk of retail space downtown.
Yes.
But I think also one of the things that we're conscious of or mindful of is that we can also be a draw. So people coming from Reading, people coming from Hamburg, people coming from Allentown. And those represent the markets that we do most of our advertising to because we want to make sure that they're conscious of the fact that, you know, pretty much we're equidistant from all three points. And if you just, you know, spend 20, 25 minutes driving, hey, look, there's a community here that's got a bunch of good stuff in it.
Yeah.
We do become a draw. And that allows us and a number of other businesses that are similar that also are draws for this area to kind of maybe not directly collaborate all the time, but indirectly collaborate to create a very dynamic space that then benefits other eateries and even the professional and personal marketplace. But also the university can't be ignored either as a collaborator.
Yeah.
They have the live music and theater events on campus. Mm-hmm. That's a draw to the area because people want to have dinner and then post-dinner they come here. I mean, there's a whole relationship that exists. For businesses, we need to be conscious, mindful, and aware of that we have play a part in a much larger picture. Stakeholders in a community for a business are the owners, the workers, the local government, other businesses, the larger community. I mean, there's multiple stakeholders in any organization, in any company, and any kind of business. So if you're not aware that those exist, you're losing opportunities to make those connections, but also to see the value they add to what you do. Which is why resources like the Small Business Resource Center are so critical for developing small businesses, small local businesses, because more often than not, you're dealing with people who are never even done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. It may not actually have even managed any place before.
Mm-hmm.
The passion, it only takes you so far.
Correct.
And when you realize that running a business is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
It is a long-term endeavor that you are taking on where you are taking your capital or other people's capital. You're investing time and energy and getting more capital out on the other end. That is the essential nature of business. For my wife and I, we're not doing this to get rich, but we are building some very real world equity into the business, into the building, into the life that we have. And the idea will be that at some point we will say we are done. We are going to cash out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, cash out sounds like you're selling. No, you're not selling out. You're saying, I have invested the time and energy and money. Now I'd like to reap my reward from doing that. I want to get my investment back, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Why would we do this otherwise?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be selling widgets. I don't want to be selling mattresses. I love selling books. I love selling games. I love selling puzzles. I love the products that we sell. I can get passionate and talk about them for hours.
Yeah.
That sustains me.
Yes.
But that's not the goal. The goal is that my wife and I be able to retire and have the resources in order to make that work and do other things with our lives. To go back, I mean, both of us went to school for fine arts. Wouldn't it be great if the two of us were able to get back to doing fine arts in our later, you know, part of our lives? Yeah. Right now we're in the middle of our careers, but at some point it'd be great to do something else too.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great to be able to travel. It'd be great to do other things, you know? So and what will that look like? Well, there's a bunch of different options. We could either continue this business until we're done and then sell it out. Mm-hmm. We could continue until we basically drop dead in the aisles, which is certainly an option that people take.
I don't want that one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you really love doing it, I mean, what's the worst thing? Yeah. Is it really that bad to like...
The rock and roll way to go.
You know, yeah, yes. You're doing what you love. Yeah. That's certainly one way to go. Or one of, you know, either somebody from the community or somebody that we know or somebody that works for us will want to take it on, and we'll find a financial mechanism to make that happen.
Yeah.
Again, that's where organizations like yours, organizations like SCORE, working with our local banks, which we have relationships with, is going to be critical, because they will be the people we will talk to about that financial aspect of
yes.
it. How do we, you know, ensure cash flow? How do we make sure that we are reaping back our investment? How do the new people, you know, manage to build up their own, you know, equity out of doing this arrangement? How do we manage all the risks involved? Again, you know, risk management is a big mm-hmm. part of it.
How do you feel like the role of bookstores have changed? And, you know, with the future trends changing, how are you all adapting to that? Mm.
Always a fun question. Mm. Always, and it's a question that bookstores have been facing for literally hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great story. Don't know if it's true. Could be completely made up story of a bookseller in Venice in, you know, just at the dawn of getting movable type presses made, and, you know, saying that, oh, the new printing press is going to be death of bookstores. And I give up, because, you know, they're going to make books too cheap. and every you know, advance after that has always, you know, brought up the exact same thing. Oh, it's going to be death of bookstores.
Yeah.
You know, movies and TV, death of bookstores.
Yeah.
You know, cheap mass market, you know, editions, death of bookstores. Mm-hmm. Audiobooks, death of bookstores, mm-hmm. you know. Streaming service, death of bookstore. Anything you can think of is going to be the death of a bookstore. And yet, strangely enough, we're more literate than we ever have been. We're reading more than we've ever have. And everybody who claims, oh, young people, they don't care about Hemingway. No, I guess. I'm sorry. He's an old white guy. What do you want them to do? I mean, there's a plethora of voices out there. They're not always going to gravitate towards the quote-unquote classic literature.
That's right.
But, you know, there is still plenty of passion for reading. And if mm-hmm. they're reading on their phones, they're reading on their iPad, they're reading physical books, it doesn't really matter. They're still consuming it because it's important to them. It matters mm-hmm. to them. And for us, shifting... So the business elements that we've been dealing with that, you know, gets communicated to the American Booksellers Association, which we're a member of, there's a lot of issues that come up that has to do with dealing and approaching the way people make purchases mm-hmm. as opposed to what they're purchasing.
Okay.
What they're purchasing, that's easy because it gets broader and bigger and larger every year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, and the publishers are perfectly aware that the hunger for new voices, new perspectives, new ideas is just growing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the kids' sci-fi fantasy section was tiny, maybe a bookcase worth of stuff that could categorize that. And once you exhausted that, you went upstairs and you start reading adult sci-fi fantasy. But then Harry Potter came out, and now I've got like 8 bookcases of nothing but, you know, kids' sci-fi fantasy and teen sci-fi fantasy.
Wow.
You know, and romance fantasy, you know, cozy fantasy, and, you know, we got werewolves and vampires and, you know, sparkly vampires and, oh, yes. God help me, and, you know, and it all starts just, you know, the craziness that exists, you know, and so what's available to read is becoming huge. The independent publishing market's become huge. There are sites devoted to getting your ebook out there without worrying about a publisher, just, you know, get it out there. And the advent of online tools like Canva mm-hmm. are allowing people to do their own, you know, their own layout, their own design, create covers, all on their own. The whole process of creating content has become very broad, very varied, and we deal with authors on every level. We deal with authors who are doing solely by themselves. People are using what we used to be called a vanity press, but it's now just basically small, you know, independent published press, to small, you know, printing houses mm-hmm. and publishing houses, to major publishing houses. And that we're dealing with authors on every single level now wow. because that's what's available. That's what, you know, what's coming out. How people are buying, however, ends up becoming a completely different issue. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we encountered post-COVID or during COVID, our ability to pivot to online was the basis of why we survived. Mm-hmm. There were many bookstores that could not pivot. They did not have the internal resources. They did not have the external resources. They could not pivot or found it very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. We found it very challenging to pivot to online and, you know, curbside pickup.
Yeah.
That was very difficult. We had to furlough our employees. My wife and I were in the store 10, 12 hours a day mm-hmm. doing nothing but, you know, basically telling people, hey, we're here. It's okay. You can buy stuff from us. We have a whole process. And getting our online business. And I had to expand our online listings enormously, very, very quickly. I had to make a bunch of adjustments and wow. stuff just to build it up.
Yeah.
Because everybody's perspective had changed.
Yeah.
No one was going out. No one was doing anything. The thing is that, of course, opened the door for everybody to start, you know, rethinking their own ways of reaching their customers and talking to their customers. And now it's become much bigger. Every single day, the small business owners of America, the many hundreds of thousands of us get up every single day and we say, time to do whatever it is we do. Yep. And every time we do, we are making sure that something is running. You know, yep. roofs are getting repaired. You know, cars are getting, you know, their tires rotated.
Yep.
You know, I'm selling books. Somebody else is making my lunch for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a constant process. The role of organizations like yours is so critical because without you helping us get the resources we need and the knowledge we need, we can't do that building.
Yeah.
We can't build the new business. We can't get the expansion we need. We can't get further along on the road of keeping this thing going, which means that we're kind of stuck trying to do it on our own, which, you know, there are resources out there. There are ways of approaching problems, even seemingly unsurmountable problems like a kind of moribund economy.
Yeah.
And how to get, you know, and push through that. And when all of us are trying to do the same thing at the same time, get our business, you know, away from this kind of slump into something, you know, higher level, higher energy, then yeah, we all benefit. You know, that whole rising water, raising the ships, you know, come on. And it affects us on a local level, it affects us on a state level, it affects us on a national level, and it affects us on a global level. Oh. You know, the ebb and flow of, you know, cash and money.
This conversation has truly been a delight because you have so much to say. But you have such a great way of saying it in detail and with honesty. And again, I said it before, the transparency. And I think that's something that sometimes people are really scared to talk about, which makes sense. It's really hard to talk about being a business owner, but you've been so great with us in explaining everything and walking us through this process. I know Small Business Saturday is coming up.
Oh boy.
So is there anything that you want to plug, like for our listeners, anything to help?
Well, Small Business Saturday is certainly our biggest day of the year. Okay. It's a lot of fun for us because we have so many people coming in. Some people come in just, you know, that travel to this, you know, specifically come visit us on Small Business Saturday. Yeah. I mean, it's quite the thing. It's quite the thing. So you can go do something fun, like, you know, shop with a bunch of crazy people who love books. I don't know.
Yeah, and support a really awesome small local business in downtown
Kutztown. Yeah, all sorts of downtown businesses. You come here, go across, get some lunch at like the tavern or, you know, at the burrito place, or you can go down to Young Ones or go over to Sorelli's and jewelry. We got like 3 jewelry shops downtown. You know, I mean, there's so much to do.
You can get it all.
You can get it all. Yeah, it's great fun. Another thing that's coming up that we're very excited about is the Best Kept Secrets Tour. Oh. So Best Kept Secrets Tour had started in Lancaster County, but has expanded to multiple other counties. We've been on the tour many times before, so it's quite possible we no longer count as a secret. But the idea is that you are basically paying for a ticket that gets you access.
Okay.
It's 45 locations spread around Berks County. They're all independently owned shops and restaurants. And there are myriad opportunities for certain sales that only you have access to, entering into raffles and doing all these like special things. We'll have authors on the Saturdays. There's three Saturdays during the tour. And we'll have multiple authors every day that are basically just doing a simple meet and greet.
Yeah.
You know, but as people come in, they can, you know, talk to these authors. Their range of authors, independently, locally published, or, you know, larger, you know, published authors that we've invited.
That's awesome.
And it should be a lot of fun for them. So Best Kept Secrets Tour is something we look forward to doing.
Awesome.
This year. So that's the very beginning of November, November 7th through the 23rd.
Awesome.
And if people want tickets, they can buy them here. Because it comes with a bag.
Oh, okay.
It comes with a goodie bag. Because the goodie bag is important. Because there are more discounts in the and like freebies and things like that in the goodie bag as well.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate you. I appreciate this business for existing. And it really warms my heart to hear how much the community has supported you. And also just taking it all the way back to the beginning when you mentioned the willingness to ask for help. I think that's such an important thing. That's such an important thing for everyone to hear, whether you're a small business owner. It's just a thing to hear as humans. That willingness to ask for help is so, so, so important. So thank you so much for saying that. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you.
And I look forward to shopping.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Let's Get Busy, brought to you by the Kutztown University Small Business Development Center. We're proud to empower small businesses across Berks, Lancaster, Lebanon, Chester, and Dauphin counties with no-cost consulting, resources, and mentorship to help you grow. For more expert advice and support, visit us at pasbdc.org. Join us next time for more stories and insights from local business owners and industry experts. Remember, success is just one step away. Keep busy and let us help you grow your business with confidence.